Welcome to Honest Feedback, a podcast here for you. We are here offering advice on alternative perspectives for whatever is on your heart and mind.
I'm Lisette King, and I'm an emotional ninja. I help leaders release baggage and heal unresolved trauma so they can live and love their life of purpose.
I'm Goddess Brittany King, and I'm a pleasure priestess. I help women connect to their deepest truth, their sensuality, their sexuality, and hold the sacred union of both. Welcome. It is so good to be back. I'm really excited. There's been so much exciting things happening in our lives.
I know. We've been growing.
Yes. We've been growing, y'all.
We've been helping other people grow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here for that transformational energy.
Yeah. We needed to take a little time off because we went to Egypt in December, and then I went to Baja with Marley Williams, who is an incredible transformational leader. Cannot recommend her enough. She's doing great things in the world and has a wonderful podcast.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so lots of growth. And so we just want to thank you for your patience as we come back online today.
Yes.
Hey, so what are we talking about today?
Oh, today we are talking about something so near and dear to me, something that has truly transformed my life for the better, psychedelics.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible journey. You know, plants are such phenomenal teachers.
Yes, they are.
And since I've been working with plants in a very sacred way, you know, it's kind of in the beginning of our relationship, right before our relationship.
Yes.
It was actually probably the first time I ever did it in a ceremonial way.
Mine too. I was with you at the hot springs, and that was my first introduction into a ceremonial approach, a ritualized approach, setting intentions approach.
Yeah, we were kind of doing it recreationally before that, right?
I mean, I had only done it once before.
Yeah.
And so like, yes, it was recreational. I didn't have the context of ceremony about like.
So let me admit, I was doing it recreationally. I take ownership for that.
Yeah.
But it definitely, once we brought ritual and intention setting, there was no looking back.
Nope. So I'm really excited to talk to an amazing guest, a friend who we met in Egypt, Sean.
Yeah, Sean from the Trip Report podcast, where he discussed psychedelic journeys and things of that nature. Yeah, he's just so, I can't wait.
I'm so excited. He's just a heart with hands and a brilliant mind and just like a fucking awesome human. So let's get him on the phone.
Yeah, let's give him a call.
Hi, Sean. It's such an honor to have you on here. Sean is a really good friend of ours. We met him recently on a spiritual quest, medicine journey, and the guy is a wealth of knowledge. He just was able to support us in such a big way. And we're like, this is the guy for this question. So Sean, pleasure to have you on here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, my name's Sean. I found all this psychedelic medicine stuff, as a lot of veterans do. I did 2 hour active in 2008, and things weren't going all that great for me. Didn't like the whole pharmaceutical route, that didn't jive with me. So I kind of found my way into meditation, and then from there to plant medicines, and it changed my life. I mean, seeing how many people that were in my unit and other veterans I've met over the years who have unfortunately taken their own lives, I have to wonder, if I didn't find this, would I be one of those statistics? You know, I don't know. So it changed my life in the best of ways. And, you know, I'm the type of person that when I find something I'm interested in, I go all in. So past 10 years, I've just been every book I can read, every podcast I can listen to, every convention I can attend, you know, I've just been filling my brain with everything I can psychedelic wise. And it's, I've learned so much, but there's so much more to learn. It's just, you know, it's crazy. So that being said, I do run my own podcast called Trip Report. I can't wait to have both of you on there. And I also work for Fireside Project. So it's interesting. I mean, perfect that we're talking about integration today, because I think that's the most important part. And Fireside offers integration via over the phone. So you can call or you can text. And we also have an app, because if you're deep in a journey, sometimes you can't dial a phone number. So you can just press app, press call, or press text. And you're actually probably not going to text if you can't even call. But yeah, great place for active trippers and for integration as well.
Amazing. Such beautiful work. Oh, thank you for all that you're doing. If I can rewind us back, and I want to thank you for your service. How long did you serve, and what was that process that between the ending of service and you finding medicine like?
Yeah, so I served active duty from 2003 to 2008. And then as I got out, that was whenever the Marine or well, whole military was downsizing and they didn't have enough people joining. So they were recalling people back in. And the problem with that recall is when they bring you back in, they can put you in any job that they want to. So, you know, I knew guys that were coming in that were mechanics like myself and then being stuck in military police. And I watched them go through training. We laughed at the time, but we watched them get maced and hit with tasers and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I want to deal with that. So I did 3 years active duty, or 3 years reservist after the active duty, which prevented me from being recalled. So it was all in all 8 years, but 5 active, 3 reserve. And then it was, I don't know, maybe, or I say it time and time again on my podcast, but the worst thing about military training is they train you to be a weapon for the government and they never untrain that from you. And so the people that I see struggle the most, you take somebody who was trained to be a weapon and put them back into normal reality where that training doesn't serve you anymore. But how many times do you see guys with that haircut at the bar getting into fights? You know what I mean? It's like, as soon as the alcohol comes in and the lizard brain takes over, that weapon is still in there. So what I think is very important is with psychedelics is it's a way to untrain that weapon. And I actually had a very recent ayahuasca experience. It might've been the last one that I had, but I sat there and it was like this full circle where I just recently finished a year of massage therapy school. And it like showed me, it was like, you use these hands, these elbows, these knees as weapons. And now they're healing modalities. So it was like, this body can do so many different things, but it's important. And what it said was like, you were never meant to be a weapon. You were meant to heal people. So it was like this big full circle, beautiful thing.
Wow. That's beautiful.
But just to jump back to your question, it was probably within those first couple of years, it was just, I was in the same rut that I see so many veterans in now where alcoholism is prevalent. I mean, it's a big part, you know, the military is like work hard, play hard. So for those 8 years, I think I drank every single day. And it was something where if you had asked me then, if I thought I was an alcoholic, I would have told you no, because we all have our own definition of what that is. Mm-hmm. And I drank after work. You know what I mean? I was always at work on time, did my job, strong work ethic, and then partied when we got off. But my idea of an alcoholic was somebody who had the jitters unless they, you know, poured some whiskey in their coffee or something in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that was my definition. But when I look back at it now, I think I drank every single day of my life. I mean, that is an alcoholic. And I don't know what kind of damage I did to myself then. Like, fortunately, this body heals itself, but I have to ask, like, how many years did I shave off the end of my life from 8 years of every single day drinking? Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. So that was, I think like a wake up call that like, I needed that to function. Like, if I was going to go out to a concert or Oktoberfest or any gathering along those lines, it was like I needed to pregame first because I wasn't comfortable in crowds of people. And that's what I see time and time again from veterans. It's just that, you know, if I go into a new place, I have my back to the wall. I knew where the exits were. All the things were that killer training inside of me that didn't need to be there. But I was in fight or flight mode, high alert all the time. And it finally catches up with you. You can't be in fight or flight status nonstop because you're constantly dumping cortisol and it you know takes its toll on your system. And so for me, it manifested into autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's related to the vaccinations I got. I don't know if that's related to burn pits I was exposed to or just the stress or a combination of all of it. But as my health started to decline, I was like, okay, we're going to fix this thing, but we're going to fix this thing naturally. The body wants to heal itself. Let's give it what it needs to heal itself and then come in, you know, plant medicine.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just love hearing your healing journey because we all find medicine in a different way, you know, and when it finds you or calls you, I just feel this cosmic call of you're ready to step into this new version of yourself. Come and sit with me. That's right. That's what it feels like. And so to hear it from your perspective is just, yeah, thank you for your service and thank you for the work you do today and turning your body into a healing mechanism. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into this question.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Brittany and Lisette and Sean. I recently got back from an incredible medicine journey in Peru where I got to sit with various medicines, including ayahuasca, combo, and several others. The trip was powerful and transformational. And now that I'm home, I'm having trouble integrating what I've learned there and coming back to the real world. I feel lonely as my colleagues and partner weren't there, and I don't quite know how to explain what happened there. Every day I'm home, the lessons feel like they're slipping away as I sit in the mundane of the day-to-day life. How does someone integrate such a powerful experience? Thank you, intergalactic traveler.
This is great. I always, my favorite quote ever is that the work begins when the ceremony ends, because that's really the case. You know, the ceremonies, they can be tough. They can be work, but we get all the downloads. And then what's important is that you apply them to your life. That's what has to happen. So step one, before you lose all those messages, is journal. Like journal. That's the most important thing. I tell people all the time at Fireside, I'm like, if you haven't done this yet, you know, if the trip was a week ago or whatever, I'm like, just as soon as you get off the phone, we sit down and journal. Because I have, what's been interesting recording my podcast is I've gone back and flipped through old journals to do episodes. And I've read things that made no sense to me then, but after a few more ayahuasca ceremonies or something, I'm like, oh, that was it. Like it clicks. So sometimes you're not ready to incorporate that download. So it's important to at least keep, you know, document all of those downloads just so that you don't lose them as time goes on, because they are so easy to lose. And then, so that's the beginning, journal. I hope that this caller was able to have an in-person integration. You know, after a lot of ayahuasca ceremonies, they'll do an integration circle the following day or a share circle. And so I think, you know, step one, journal. Step two, if you can share in person, that I think is so much more important. So to throttle back to my first ayahuasca experience ever, first weekend, I tapped into some, you know, a sealed door inside my psyche, something that I, you know, completely just buried. And it came to the surface and I purged it all. It came, you know, I felt it as nausea. I let it go. I got the pat on the back from Mother Ayahuasca. You know, I'm proud of you. Let it go. And so I go and I sit in the share circle the next day and we're going around the room. And my initial intention was just to say, like, I unpacked something. I said my piece with it. It was what it was. But as we went around the room, there were so many people sharing about just like the most horrific things, you know, like, where I could understand all the crying and screaming and everything from the ceremony the night before. And so I thought to myself, like, who am I to just hold this in and say, like, oh, I'll deal with it on my own, like when these people were pouring out their souls. Yeah. And so it came to me and I opened up and I just broke down crying. I'm talking like ugly crying, couldn't talk. People were handing me tissues. Yeah. And, you know, as a male, as a Marine who my whole life has been told, you know, crying's for girls, don't cry, that kind of thing. I think I, if I had to guess, it would probably be like the last time that I cried was 10 years old at my great grandma's funeral and then locked up for, I mean, this is last year or no, I'm sorry. First ayahuasca experience. So locked up for, you know, 20 some years. So yeah. That crying is a form of purging. So as you know, encounter sad, difficult, painful, all these different things, that's one way to let it go. And for so much of my life, I was just burying it down inside. And that's not the way to do it. So what's interesting is, you know, I break down in the share circle, I get it out, but I felt good afterwards. It was like after the tears stopped and I was able to settle back down and we went through the rest of the circle, it's just like the support from everybody around me. And, you know, I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel like if I was around a bunch of Marines, they'd be like, oh, that bitch, you know, that kind of thing. Like I felt comfortable being able to let it go. And I did. I did let it go. So I get in the car on the way home and I'm explaining to my dad what happened. And I talked through it, no problem. And then I get back to the house and my fiance is there. And, you know, I explained to her what happened. And again, broke right back down, ugly crying again. And again, didn't feel judged from her. You know, it was all good. So full circle here, what I say is in person is the most important. So you have different options here. You have Fireside. So journal number one, write it down. You have phone calls. You can do that. There are Zoom integration groups. Are you guys familiar with meetup.com or the Meetup app? Yeah. Often you can go on there and just type psychedelic in your area. And in most major cities, you'll find a psychedelic integration group. So that's a possibility, or start your own. You know what I mean? If that's like a calling for you, then so be it. But they're more powerful in person. Like I said, there was one in San Diego when I was there for years, and I would go, very, very powerful breakthrough stuff. And then after, unfortunately, COVID took it to an online situation, and that kind of like took away from it. And they were still charging money. I get it if you're going to charge to hold a space and provide refreshments and those kind of things. But when it comes to like getting on a Zoom like this, saying, I want a donation of $20 from you, like that just feels gross to me. You know what I mean? So, but if it works for you, it works for you. Fireside's free. You know what I mean? You can call every day if you want. Like, we're there to help. But just in that level of, I think at the very bottom is journaling, because that's just you. You're still not talking to anybody. Then you have phone calls, you know, to a loved one, friend, therapist, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, like talking to somebody on a phone, text. And if we have people that don't like to talk at Fireside, texting is easier for them, but that's still integration. But I do think in person is everything, because that was the only thing that brought it back out of me. So, that's pretty important. Where do we go from there?
That's just like a wealth of information. And it sparks curiosity in me, as someone, so we all recently went to Egypt together, and medicine was a part of that journey. And I've been noticing with myself, like every time I go to journal about it, like my hand has nothing to write. And I feel like this almost like a tongue tied thing where it's like, I don't even really have the words to explain to my journal what I experienced. And I like want to remember the downloads. And so I've been having conversations with like close friends and trusted community members, and I've been able to process that way. But are there any suggestions you would have for someone who's like, I just like the journaling is not hitting. I'm not sure what's happening.
Well, I mean, one thing I can say, and why I said journal immediately, was because after the, you know, pyramid ceremony, the next day in the bus, I was on my computer. I was like, I'm not going to lose this. So that's why I say immediately, because then it's like, it just gets more and more difficult as time goes by. And that's why, you know, what the caller said is things just seem to slip away. And sometimes, you know, it's some things will jog it back into memory, you know, in the same way that like a smell can do it or something along those lines. And sometimes you'll be in the next ceremony and it comes back through again. You're like, oh yeah, how did I forget about that? So, and then the other thing is, if you feel like you're getting writer's block, essentially, maybe like sometimes writing doesn't work for me, so I'll type. If typing doesn't work, maybe voice record, you know, like maybe you can just kind of like freestyle there and throw down some pieces. And what I find is like, usually once you get the core tenet of what you're trying to speak or talk about, it, you know, just flourishes from there.
Yeah. That's
beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm hearing you say is you're an external processor. Mm. And so when you talk to people, you can hear it. So I definitely am going to second that, like just a voice recording of you, just even maybe the next time you're explaining it to someone, just turning on that voice recorder. So you have that feedback as well.
And take advantage of all the people, you know, that were on the journey too. You know what I mean? We definitely had a family by the time that ended, and we still have the group thread going. So it's like, if something comes up for you that you need your memory jogged, throw something in the chat and say, like, does anybody remember anything about this? And like, that may bring some more stuff in for you. And then the same thing with like ayahuasca ceremonies and all that, or this caller, you know, in Peru, I hope they stay in touch with the people that they were there with, because, you know, conversations with people who you were in the journey with can, you know, maybe spark that up for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could certainly relate to this caller. I went to Peru last summer, and one resource that I had was just other friends that had been in the journey. And not specifically that journey, but had sit with ayahuasca before. I was like, oh, I need to call my friend Emmy because I know she sits all the time. And just reaching out to people who understand, because it can be isolating if you call, you know, it sounds like this person's partner or their colleagues just didn't understand that world. And so I would love to dive deeper in that concept of the real world versus what you sit in medicine. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's what it comes down to too, is there's no words to describe the things that you experience. Like, look at this behind me. How would you describe that to somebody? You can't say, oh, it was a circle. And then there, you know, people typically say sacred geometry, but what does that mean to most people? I mean, this is what I see when I'm in the mushroom realm and DMT and traveling through different things, but it's hard to find a definition for that. So yeah, I mean, that's where it gets weird. It's like, what's the real world versus that world? Because I've said oftentimes, sometimes I feel like I have one foot in this reality and one foot in that reality. So first off, it comes into what substance is there. So it's, you know, for psilocybin, for me personally, the world gets very cartoony. And it's what's fascinating about it is that if I'm with somebody on psilocybin, it feels like we're in the same reality together. But if there's somebody there who's not on psilocybin, they don't feel like they're there. Like, they're there, but they're not in that reality with us, which is super bizarre. I don't know how you explain that, but that's where my personal belief, and other people have talked about this, but that our brains are like a television receiver or a radio receiver, and that the signal that comes in is what puts us here in what we call normal. And then I think that depending on what molecule you've ingested, I think that the frequency of the brain tweaks to where you essentially jump a different channel. Now, that channel is still this world, because you can still communicate with people. Well, sometimes, you do enough of anything and you aren't communicating with people in this world before. You're communicating with things from another world. And so it's hard, again, like, there's no words to define this world versus that world, of this reality versus that one. And so I like what you said about finding this, because it's, if someone else has done a 5-gram mushroom journey, they know how to relate to you and talk about the things that you've seen. And then the biggest thing too is, and what I do like that people call fireside so often, is like, normalization for people is everything. Like, it's so common for people to have this question, like, did I break my brain? Like, is something wrong? Like, why do I feel like I'm not back to the normal reality again? And so explaining to people, like, hey, this is so common. Like, this, like 90% of the calls I get are people that are like, hey, am I broken forever? Or like, what's going on here? And, you know, it's fortunately, like, people are really, for the most part, are only calling us when they're in distress. So it's like, it's kind of scary sometimes whenever every call I get is distressful, but you have to think, like, how many other people are using psychedelics every single day and having beautiful, wonderful experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's very important to realize that, like, you don't always get what you want, you get what you need. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I'm a person, when I'm in deep medicine, I lose the ability to talk. And everything becomes nonverbal, whether you're in the journey or whether you're not in the journey. And it's a little gift from the medicine of, like, shh, quiet. Like, I feel like my experience of it is, like, it's all happening at the same time. Like, everything's happening all at once. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what's been such a powerful reframe is, like, it's not that you're broken, it's that you're healed, you know? And it's literally, for me, it feels like my first experience felt like I was getting unplugged from the Matrix. Like, that's why I thought that movie is just so powerful. It's literally like you get unborn, you get taken out and unplugged and then shown truth. And then it's like, what's your choice to do with that truth? Some people accept it, some people fight it, some people integrate it. And like, for me, I feel like it's this dance of, like, how am I integrating that truth? And if I was considering this game, the life, as a game, how can I game up? Like, what can I bring from truth that supports me in this game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that you say that, because it's so common. anybody who has done psychedelics and seen the Matrix, they're like, yeah, I've been pulled out of the Matrix. But how do you explain that to somebody who has never done them before? You know what I mean? What I like to tell people is, I always say, like, until you've done a psychedelic drug, you are closed-minded. And that's not an insult at all. Like, and you, I'm not knocking on it. And you don't know that you're closed-minded. Like, you cannot know you're closed-minded until you've stepped outside of yourself and seen that everything that you've thought in your brain has been programmed in you from day one. And what psychedelics do is allow you to step outside of that programming and then take into account, you know, everything else that's in the world. So what, coming back to what you had mentioned too, this whole thought of like, am I broken or am I healed? What I get so often of people saying, like, you know, often people are having like panic attacks and that kind of thing. And like, I don't feel normal. And I'm like, okay, so what was your reason for doing psychedelics? And almost always it's for treating anxiety or depression, because that's what's in the media. You know what I mean? That's the media all talks about, okay, psychedelics are for anxiety and depression. It's a bummer, because they should be talking about it's for personal growth. It's for spiritual growth. It's for feeling better. You know, it's for committing to your New Year's resolution. You know what I mean? It makes every aspect of life easier and better. But all you hear in the news is like, if you're broken, this will fix you. Mm-hmm. And so people think it's a magical cure pill that you can take one time and be good. Yeah. But what people will say is, okay, well, I took it for anxiety. It's okay. So how was your anxiety for the week after your experience? And they said, it was actually much better. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, so that's your new normal. Like, you shouldn't have anxiety. You've spent how many years in a state of anxiety that's what feels normal to you. Mm-hmm. And now that you don't have anxiety anymore, it doesn't feel normal. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, what you have to do is define your new normal. And yeah, it's not going to feel normal, because this whole journey was to make yourself a better person, to level up, to move forward. So don't try to go back to where you were, because then you miss the whole purpose of this. Yeah. So I like the whole idea of like the biggest concept that comes up is neuroplasticity. So after a psychedelic journey, you have some level of neuroplasticity. And the easiest way to describe what that is just the ability to change the way that you do everything in life. And so I like it, like thinking like a snow globe is, you know, all the snow is at the bottom, and that's your normal life. That's how you run all the time. Yeah. And now psychedelics, they shake that snow globe up and the snow starts running. And neuroplasticity means that while that snow is floating around, you have time to reprogram that brain. But as soon as it settles, you're back. So if it's shaking up and you come back from Peru and you go back to drinking, and but go back to your friends who aren't doing anything in life, and you go back to eating garbage, and you go back to sitting on the couch and watching Netflix, then it all settles right back down the same way that it was. And then when you're done, you didn't accomplish anything. Now, depending on the dose that you took or the substance that you took, you can shake that thing up much longer. So, you know, you can do microdosing, which you get a little tiny, maybe shimmy of that snow globe and a couple things pop up. And teach their own. Microdosing is great for some people, but it has never given me profound lasting impact. Now, you go to like, well, let's just stay with mushrooms for here. You go to a gram, you shake it, it lifts off the ground a little bit. You go to 2 grams, now you got some movement, and then you go to 3+ and that snow is everywhere. Yeah. Now, the higher the dose, the more potent the chemical, the longer that snow is going around and the longer you have to implement changes until it settles back down again. So that's why when you see in the MAPS trials and everything else, when people are kicking addiction, when people are having, you know, all these profound breakthroughs, it's always the 5 grams plus of mushroom matter, because that's seems to be the minimum dose necessary to shake that snow globe completely. And that's why it's often referred to as the heroic dose or the one that dissolves the ego, because that seems to be what's required to really give you the ability to take advantage of that neuroplasticity.
Brilliant, Sean. I feel like I'm learning. So, you know, we feel pretty versed in medicine. And also I just really appreciate the wealth of knowledge you have in this realm. I'd love to offer a tool for integration for this caller as well, this writer. One of the things that I truly believe in my work, because I deal with the unconscious mind a lot, is even your dreams are signs from your unconscious mind. So if you're taking medicine, it's the medicine teaching you through symbology, through symbols, of what your unconscious mind needs to learn. So one of the things that a friend, Thomas, you know Thomas, he started doing for integration was dream interpretation. And so the same way we would interpret the signs of what you see in your dreams and go, what does that mean? You know, like list out all the things you saw. I saw a serpent moving through the walls. You know, I heard a frog, like, and you could list out all the things and then go, what does that mean to your unconscious mind? And then list out, oh, a serpent means shedding, you know, a frog means transcendence. So you take it, like, take it out a layer and then say, what do those things now mean to my mind? And how can I use those things to solve a problem? Oh, I need to shed my old skin and transcend. It's just like no message ever has to be lost. We can interpret every dream just like the medicine is showing us through the symbols that we understand. So that's been a valuable tool for me to personally interpret the shit that's hard to explain in a psychedelic journey. So I definitely wanted to just offer that to our, to our person.
Mm-hmm. And again, coming back to the journaling, even the most minor thing of like, I saw a snake, you know, in this experience, it may have meant nothing to you then, but you know, what was interesting again in me going through journals and then this essentially a full year of podcasting now was my very first psilocybin journey ever. The first vision I saw when I looked in the clouds was a very prominent lion head. It was almost identical to the scene of The Lion King where Simba looks up and sees Mufasa's head, but it was electric blue and purple and crazy. And I was just, you know, mind blown. I was like, wow, psychedelics are everything people said that they were, but it meant nothing to me. I was just like, what is a lion? And then 8-9-ish years go by and I'm in an ayahuasca ceremony and I wasn't able to make it the first night. So I caught up the second night. And I heard the share circle of everybody before we went in from the night before, and they were all talking about spirit animals and that kind of thing. And I was like, ah, cool. And went back into ayahuasca. And then I see the lion again. And it like, it explained it all to me. It was like, first off, you knew this. I showed it to you on day one, what your spirit animal was. And then it showed me the whole like Lion King movie. And like, I was a huge fan whenever I was a kid. And what it showed me was that scene where Simba leaves, goes and meets up with these two hippie creatures on the other side of the, you know, the jungle, like hanging out in tropical paradise. And it was like, you were this timid little cub. You left, you know, your family and everybody you knew, and you went on this journey and you ended up in Southern California, this bizarre place full of hippies. Yeah. And you found these weird psychedelic drugs. And it was like, now it's time for you to be a lion. Like, you're not a timid cub anymore. Step in and be that lion. And I was like, I got chills. I was like, okay. Like, but it was one of those things again, whereas I wrote down in the journal, saw a lion. Okay. Didn't mean anything to me. And even at the time, if I had said, must be my spirit animal, it never explained to me why. And so it was like years later on ayahuasca, it was like, this is why the lion is your spirit animal.
Wow. Well, you just broke the Lion King down in like a whole new way for him. Like, yes, he was hanging out with hippies.
Like, but then you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, that's profound. It makes me think of the first time I did mushrooms. It was with friends, and it was like very recreational. And we went into the woods and like, but I was surrounded. Like, I literally started chasing cats. And cats have shown up in every medicine journey I've been in. My very first ayahuasca sit, everyone was a cat except for her and one other person. Everybody else was a cat. But like, cats have been weaving their way, and I'm still understanding and learning the messages that I'm getting from cats, but like, they were there day one. Cats are here for you.
And like, another funny bit from that too is that between point A and point B, mushroom journey to ayahuasca ceremony, I was interested in cannabis assisted psychotherapy because I'd heard about it at the 2018 conference in Denver, and visually what I'd seen him put on the screen, it looked like full blown ayahuasca experiences, purging and everything else. So I was like, let me try it. So I found a cannabis assisted psychotherapist, and they pulled a card for me at the beginning, and she pulled me a cat. And she was like, does a cat mean anything to you? I was like, I'm allergic to them, but I mean, I don't know anything besides that. And, but again, it's funny because it was like, let me show you again. The cat is prominent for you, but it didn't connect until the ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah.
And it just goes back to the matrix, is that like everything that we're being shown, whether eyes open sober or in a psychedelic journey or in a dream, everything, I truly do believe everything is for us. And so like, no part of any journey should or could be dismissed. You know, right. It always comes full circle. I had a journey in the journey in Peru. I heard the message, do less, be more. Do less, be more. And I was wrapping my, I'm like, but how though? Like, how do you be more? How do you do less? And the answer is all in there. Then, you know, we go to Egypt and I hear the same message just downloading in a temple. And I'm like, okay. Huh. And then I hear trust and I'm like, it's still coming to light, but every day in every way, like the universe is sending me these signals and I hear it come out of other people's mouths. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. You're like, this message is so for me. And I, you know, I do believe it's for everyone. There's only one of us here. And it's one of the big proponents of medicine that I truly believe in. When one of us heals, we all heal. So like the biggest service you can do for the world is to heal yourself and to do this work. So yeah, it's the same message for all of us for sure.
I want to throw in there with anybody's thoughts on, so this caller says like, my partner and my colleagues weren't there and I don't know how to explain it. What kind of support would you suggest for people when it's like the people in your life maybe haven't gotten the call to medicine and like they're in the closed-minded space? How do you navigate those waters of I was opened and you may not be there and you may not feel the call to be there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just be the light. Like you said earlier on, psychedelics, you don't find them. They find you when you're ready. So I think the best thing, there's so many people around me that are still terrified of psychedelics. And, you know, the biggest thing I can say is just the people who saw me when I was struggling after I got out of the Marine Corps that have seen me now. And they're like, man, you're just brighter. You're happier. Like, do that. You know what I mean? Just live your best life. And when people around you are like, what did you do? Like, what changed? Why are you different? Like, you just tell them. And it's interesting. I've thought about this before too, is that we all have the ability to change ourselves, to reinvent ourselves every single day. Mm-hmm. And so part of like looking at, you know, alcohol on one side of it too, is that people tend to loosen up and be more relaxed because it's almost as if like, yeah, it's having an impact on the brain. But I think a lot of people are like, well, I can say I was drinking so I can be the person I want to be. Like it allows them to kind of relax and do that. I think a lot of times what psychedelics do is they allow you to go within and see who you want to be, or meant to be, are. And it gives you something to blame it on. Like when you come back and you can truly be who you want to be, instead of like, if I just, you know, left work one day and came back in the next day chipper and excited, and people were like, what's going on, man? Like, it was weird for me to come in and say, I just reinvented myself. I want to be a happier, healthier person. Yeah. It'd be like, well, that's weird. But if I came back in and was like, oh, I did a shit ton of mushrooms last night, then people were like, okay, like, that makes sense. So it's like, it's almost like it gives you a scapegoat. You know what I mean? Like you can, I think that's kind of a perk to plant medicines as well, is that it allows you to go inside, see who you are, who you want to be, and then come back out and be that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good.
That's awesome. Well,
do we have any last thoughts?
Yeah.
Any other sprinkles?
Coming back to feeling normal, because that is something I get all the time on Fireside. And what I do like to tell people is that, so there is HPPD, or hallucinogen persisting perception disorder. It's pretty rare, but I think that there are mild levels of it that is what makes you feel not normal for a long time. And so like, it usually manifests in people whenever they're trying to fall asleep at night. They kind of like, they feel like they're going back into a journey again. Mm-hmm. So it's fairly common, specifically with LSD and 5-MeO-DMT. So, and it's not very well studied, but for the majority of people, you will find your way back to baseline or to your new normal, whatever that looks like. But what I tell people is that if you want to speed up the process to get there, treat this thing with respect. You know what I mean? So and that looks like optimum nutrition. You know what I mean? Cut out the processed foods, cut out the fast food, put good quality food inside of yourself, limit your sugar, make sure you're drinking enough water, get enough sleep, exercise, you know what I mean? That'll help with sleep as well. Meditation, breath work, go get a massage, you know, treat yourself, take a bath. Like, these are the things. If the better you treat this body, the sooner it will be able to find itself back to its, you know, state of homeostasis.
Yeah, I'd like to speak into even just the label of normal. You know, if we're sitting with medicine, especially like psilocybin or things like these, things come from the earth, right? And so rather than thinking, you know, I'm not normal, how about you're becoming more natural?
Exactly.
Like this is your nature. Is, if there's anything that comes through when I sit in medicine, is my nature becomes love. Like, I see love in everyone. My heart is open. Like I love my dogs more. I love my partner more. I love everyone more. And for me, that's natural. The old normal was paranoia, worry, like, what did they mean by that? You know? And The more medicine I sit in, the more I'm just like, it's all just love. And that feels natural to me. So, yeah.
Yeah. The higher doses, that always seems to be the message for everybody. And so I think that is like, if there's one ultimate thing you can achieve that says like, what should I expect from a high dose medicine journey, is love. That's what you should expect. And if you're not getting there, it's because you're not allowing it to happen. So if you're just chasing the fear and the anxiety and the, oh, I think I died, and all these things that come up within there, then trust me, you're not going to die on psychedelics. No one ever has. You're not going to be the first one. Like, you need to realize that going in. Like, they're all very, very safe, especially mushrooms. You can eat 40 grams and you're going to go places, but you're not going to die. And so that's the most important thing, is as soon as you can realize that you just need to let go, trust the medicine, what it's going to do, then that's whenever the love comes in. And it does every single time. And every single experience I've had, whether it was a challenging one or a beautiful one, it's always that last hour. I'm right there with you. My mind just cycles through every single person, past, present, that has had an impact on my life. And then every animal, I just have love for everybody. And so it's like, I talk about in the podcast a lot of times, but you know, that often means at like 2 or 3 a.m. I'm texting 47 people, I love you.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, I see, like, especially where, unfortunately, we have such a high veteran suicide rate. If you get a text at 3 a.m. from somebody telling you love them, a lot of people, their brain goes to the worst possible place. And it's like, no, I'm just telling you, I love you. Like, I'm very happy and I'm glad you're in my life and I love you. But it's funny, the various responses you get from 3 a.m. love you text me. Or text me.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. Sometimes I record them as little voice notes and then I wait till the morning to send them. because the phone, sometimes you like don't want to be in it, but I'm like, I want to remember. I love you. So, Well, I just want to thank you so, so much for your time and sharing your wealth of wisdom and knowledge with us. And I know you're on Fireside. Is there other ways for people to connect with you? Tell us again your podcast name and all things.
Yeah. So one was Fireside. You can call or text 62 Fireside. That's how you get in touch with us. And again, so that's 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific time. So any time of the day, we have usually 4+ volunteers on available on call. And then we have affinity groups also. So if you want to speak with any of the above, veteran, BIPOC, transgender, Hispanic, like whatever you want to, we pretty much have somebody there. Like, you know, we really push the affinity side of things. So you can really feel comfortable with who you're talking to. Yeah, so the podcast is Trip Report, but TRYP as tryptamine, and then Rapport, RAPPORT. So Rapport, which honestly, I can't believe it wasn't taken. It's a beautiful name. So Trip Report. I do have social media at Trip Report spelled that way. I'll just post a new episodes are up and I will talk people through DMs on there. And then tripreport@gmail.com. If anybody wants to come on and share their story, I'm just looking for it. From the very beginning, before I even had my first experience, I thought the coolest thing was just hearing what other people's experiences were. So I would just read through Shroomery and Arrowhead and all the different experiences that people had. And I was like, this is so cool. And I was like, why not have a podcast for people? I'll share it. And then I share most of mine as well. So yeah, you can get at me there. Fireside, like I said, I'm on Thursday, A shift. So 11 to 3 on California time. So if you call, you might get a chance to talk to me. But yeah, I think that's it.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. It's been amazing having you on and really hope that this, this writer, this person just has been able to integrate it. And I want to say like medicine takes as long as it takes. You can still be integrating something from years ago. And so just being patient with yourself is going to be key as you get back to, you know, a new natural. So, yeah.
Like we've said too, it's not a magic pill. Like it's not one and done. I mean, the other thing I like to tell people is that, you know, if you're 200 pounds overweight and you go to the gym once, is it going to do anything for you? Absolutely not. But if you go to the gym for a year, you're going to see some changes. And then if you stop going, you're going to go right back to where you were. So, you know, you need to use this as a tool, get yourself mentally where you want to be. And then, you know, you go for a touch up whenever you think you need it. That's the most beautiful thing is none of these things are addictive. They're not habit forming, but it's a tool to have if you feel like you're, you know, getting a little fog inside your psyche.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to know do you just go when you have a tune up to do, or do you have a schedule you like to say, sit in medicine again?
Yeah. I mean, realistically, I kind of wait for that tune up. In the beginning, I went hard and I needed it. So it was, you know, dealing with the PTSD from the military stuff, and I'd just been divorced and there was a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And I was doing maybe once a week for the first year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was quite a bit. But I do feel like every time it was more and more downloads coming through and more messages, and I was feeling better and I was getting more compliments from people or comments saying like, hey, you know, you look brighter, you look happier, what are you doing? Those kind of things. And I mean, in those early days, I was definitely like shouting from the mountains, you should do mushrooms. And like, I've kind of throttled back on that. I let it play out that they will find you when you're ready. You know, whenever you feel like, okay, this might work for me, then that's when it's your time. So that being said is, yeah, if I feel like a little funk coming on, you know, I'll go in there. Or if an opportunity presents itself, you know, some molecule I haven't tried or something along those lines, then I just like, I'm right there with you. I feel like this life is a journey and I just stay open to what comes my way. And so if, you know, like 5-MeO for me was a veteran research study for TBI. And so I was just like, let's go for it. And that was the most life-changing experience that I've had, hands down. It's actually the number one most listened to podcast of mine. So check it out, but it's a good one.
Definitely.
We're definitely going to check it out.
Yeah.
You're awesome, man. Thank you so much for providing this service for our callers and our community. Cause I'm sure this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a lot of people that need this support. So thank you for the work that you do.
Yay. Thank you for having me on. And like I said, you're both very welcome. Think about some experiences you want to share, and then let's link up and let's do it.
Oh, we're coming.
We're coming. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Sean really brought it today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Bless him. Like, yeah. I just feel so grateful to meet so many wise teachers on my path. And I feel so grateful that we're able to share them with you all. Mm-hmm. That was profound. Something that truly stuck with me was about just the many different ways to integrate and all the different kind of access points, and how usually when you're called to medicine, you are either maybe wanting to get rid of something or be with something or understand something. So mm-hmm. like going back to what feels like normal, mm-hmm. like isn't actually what's being called for. It's like discovering what the new normal is for you is where the magic is.
Yeah, absolutely. And allowing yourself to get what you ask for.
Yeah.
Because, you know, something that was said was like, medicine gives you what you need.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have sat there if you didn't want something different.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so good. And we really want to thank the person who wrote the question in. We appreciate you, you know, trusting us with such a vulnerable question. And if you have a question, please feel free to give us a call at 971-895-4111, or you could slide into our DMs on Instagram at Honest Feedback Podcast.
Yes. And until we meet again, be honest with each other.
Yeah.